When the Lord speaks about almsgiving and indicates you should not blow a trumpet before you when you're giving alms, it was partly a reference to the treasury in the temple. In the court of the women is where the treasury was. And there were 13 receptacles lined up to receive the coins, and they looked like trumpets, even brass. And so they would put the coin in, and it would funnel down into a receptacle, each one marked accordingly, either for support of the temple or for support of the poor. The trumpet blowing would also refer to the fact that because the temple priest had to check every coin to make sure they were valid and people weren't just throwing in something that was nothing, or putting in coins that would be regarded as too pagan, there'd be a priest by each of those trumpets, those receptacles. And he would look at the coins people would put in, and he would announce out loud what people were putting in, their own little addition to perhaps engender more giving. So think of this poor widow who puts in her equivalent by our money of 2 pennies. And it would be announced out loud for all to hear, 2 pennies. Whereas other people are putting in hordes of money. And they like the sound of it. Obviously, our Lord is indicating the great faith and trust of this widow. Because think of it, most people when they give out of their surplus to God, not out of their want or not out of their need. They give surplus, so God gets what's left over. If you recall, that's why God did not like or accept the sacrifices of Cain, the brother of Abel. Because Cain gave what was left over, keeping the best for himself. Whereas Abel gave the best of his flocks, sacrificed them to God. But this is not to construe to you the reality that suddenly you should become imprudent and dump all your money into the collection basket and then not support your family, hardly. It's more about the reality of what our Lord is underscoring, and that is the attitude of the giver and how he gives, how you're disposed to giving to God, really does reveal your overall mindset. If you give reluctantly, for example, then obviously you do not trust God. You trust money more, which is why you give the money reluctantly. Whereas if you give with joy and with a real sense of devotion to our Lord, as the woman with the 2 pennies did, then that is satisfying to our Lord. Remember, God only asks for 10%. So Scripture would not have supported the widow giving everything that she had to our Lord. And had she been a Pharisaical Jew, she wouldn't have done it, because she would have found the legal way out. But our Lord underscores what her disposition is towards him, one of total and adulterated trust. And remember that Christ is cardiognostic. He can read hearts. He's not speculating that this woman gave all that she had with her 2 pennies. He knows it. And if she gave everything to him, then she has complete, unadulterated trust for God, which is sorely lacking in our godless culture today. And because constant exposure leads to a certain degree of contamination, too many Catholics are more worldly than they are spiritual. So it's all about trusting God. Do you trust God? Do you trust God to this level, the level of this widow, giving all that she had, and even the widow who encountered Elijah, knowing he was a man of God, she provided for everything that he asked for. And when he wants to eat, it would take what little bit she had. And she explains the situation, but then Elijah explains, ultimately, she should still do it, and here's why, trusting in God. So she does it. the last of her flour, the last of her oil. And she makes food just for Elijah because she trusts God more than she trusts the world. In that respect, then, for a whole year she has flour, and for a whole year the oil does not run out. For God was good to her, as indeed was his design. So do you trust God? It's not really about how much you're putting in the collection plate. That's immaterial. It's really about the whole dynamic of your disposition towards God. Do you really trust him as you ought? Or do you trust money more? Do you trust the world more? We've seen that, haven't we, with the whole COVID fiasco. You know, COVIDism is a new religion. It has its own sacraments, the vaccine. It has its own sacramentals, the mask. And the only reason people wear those is an indication of the reality of subscribing to it. And consider the reality of the whole dynamic of even our own bishops canceling mass for COVID. Bishops died, great saints died, taking care of true plague victims because they trusted God more than the world. They trusted God more than real plagues. Because after all, this is no real pandemic. If you look at the death rate from 2019 and 2020, they're almost the same. If it's a pandemic, should not the year 2020 be much higher in death than 2019? No coincidence that the flu always kills many thousands. But in 2020, there were only 2,000 people that died of the flu. We cured the flu somehow last year. Probably to jack the COVID numbers up. It's its own religion. So is scientism, by the way, because scientism is what's behind COVIDism. So people that are members of the COVID religion, we call them COVIDians. And they don't want this crisis to pass, and there's a reason for it, because most COVIDians are godless. And the crisis has given them meaning. It's given them purpose. It's given them a sense of doing something that is good for others. Finally, not centered on themselves by wearing a mask so that they don't get sick or make others sick. There's something about the reality. They're looking for something ethereal because they're godless. The COVID has become the existential crisis they need to justify their existence. Because those of us who have faith in God know that there is a heaven and there's a hell in the end, because purgatory is gone once the general judgment occurs at the end of the world. And so therefore, existence is based on the reality. Are you serving God or are you serving the devil? Every single day, there's an existential threat to us with regards to our souls, not our bodies. But there's always danger in the world, isn't there? But scientism backing up COVIDism, scientism is its own religion now. It's not science. Because science is always open to debate. Scientism, what we're seeing today, is not open to any debate. You can't say that COVID is a fraud. It's irresponsible to say that. People think, Father, it's irresponsible for you to say that. You're no doctor. No, I'm no doctor. But here's the thing. I'm a priest. And so if I'm right, guarded souls who hear what I say go to heaven in the end when they die. If I'm wrong, and all of a sudden we all die of COVID, guess what? Because you listen, you're all guarded souls, and you're ready, therefore you go to heaven. It's a win-win proposition for those of us who believe in Christ. Because we're always prepared for death if we're truly Catholic. We know that death is the consequence for sin. Our Lord himself underwent it. Our Lady paid tribute to it when they didn't have to. They were without sin. But scientism is the other religion people buy. It's the other trust that they embrace. Because remember, trust is an act of the will. Will follows understanding. Therefore, you will not trust what you do not understand. Because if you are, that's what we call faith. A lot of COVIDians put their faith in those who practice scientism, who have no real facts to back them up. Why take a vaccine for a flu virus that has a 99.997 recovery rate for most people, and 94% recovery rate for those over 70. But see, the scientists who are scientism followers don't want that to be known. There's something sinister about all this. It really is an existential threat on the spiritual level, not on the physical, at least not yet, until we see that this vaccine, which really isn't approved by the FDA, it's still an emergency thing, and it's illegal to make people take an experimental drug based on what the Constitution itself says and the laws, what they say, and of course, after Nazi Germany and what the United States subscribed to with regards to the regulations of Nuremberg. But once people see how dangerous this thing really is, there's going to be a lot of regret. Because the numbers are indicating that more and more people are beginning to suffer from immunodeficiency as a result of the vaccine. Most of the people in the hospital for COVID are fully vaccinated. But the scientism people don't want the facts out because science is open to debate, scientism is a religion, and you must accept it by faith without any facts. So this has been a test, if you will, because God allows the ascendancy of evil in order to not only punish the unrighteous, but to test the faithful, to see if we will continue to have faith. In other words, to see if we will trust. There is evil in the church, to be sure. God has permitted that rise of evil within the church for a reason, to punish us for falling asleep, for not really caring about our souls. So the church has long taught, when God is angry at his people, he gives them the shepherds they deserve. In other words, he will give them priests or bishops or even popes that are a punishment, not a blessing. But do we trust in the midst of all this? Why should we trust? Because if we are embracing trust, remember, trust is what it is, an act of the will based on your understanding. What do you understand? Divine revelation. What does Scripture tell us? What does the church teach us? What does tradition say? And so, he is God. He is all good, he is all wise, he is all powerful. So why would I trust anything else but God? And remember what our Lord said, if you're so afraid. Remember, we're only afraid of death if we're not faithful. Because to us, if we're not faithful, death is a mystery. You have no idea what's going to happen, but if you're faithful, you know exactly what happens when you die. Your soul leaves the body as a consequence of sin, and your soul, which is immortal, is taken to the judgment seat of Christ, and then you are judged by Christ on how you either live the life of grace and accepted what he calls you to, living the life of grace, repenting from sin, or if you rejected him and lived in sin. And then it's your personal choice, by the way. No one falls into hell by accident. Only those who choose it. There's no mystery to death if you're faithful. If you're faithless, if you have put your trust in the world and you're a materialist, you're scared to death of death. Pardon the duplicity of words. You are frightened out of your wits because without faith you have no idea what's coming. Or deep down you do. Your conscience is informing you. You do not want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ today, so you better live longer. What does Christ say that we should, our attitude should be about death? Do not be afraid of the one, or we could say the so-called virus, that can destroy the body. Be afraid of the one who can destroy the soul by consigning it to Gehenna. In other words, be more eager to please God than anything else. And of course, do not embrace the lie, because remember, this is the reality. We are in the midst of the world, not of the world, but in it. And the devil is, as Jesus says in the Gospel of John, the prince of the world. Christ is the king, but the devil is a prince only because men give him their allegiance and allow his evil to spread. And he is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. Or a liar and a murderer from the beginning, as Jesus says. Everything he says is a lie. And every lie he says is about murdering, sanctifying grace in our souls so that we belong to him. So everything's an illusion. Everything's a lie. Everything's about distracting us from God. Either through good things and material possessions, or through the natural evils that concur with gross viruses. And despite the fact that God has made the body capable when it is healthy to fight viruses, he makes people too afraid and to put artificial, man-made things in their bodies, not trusting what God himself has designed. Because it's not antibodies that your body first uses in the line of defense. It's T cells and other things. The vaccine puts all these antibodies in your body that have nothing to do. And then it becomes a danger because the variants that are occurring from the COVID thing are happening because of the vaccinated. Because the unvaccinated have what God gave them, natural immunity. But the lie is more intriguing, especially if you're faithless, because the lie makes you feel like you are embracing something greater than yourself. It makes you a hero just for wearing a mask. It makes you a hero. But like all false religions, it always points to the truth as something detestable. Hence, the COVIDians hate the non-vaccinated. And they want the non-vaccinated punished. As we're seeing in Europe, you can't buy groceries without a vaccine in some places in Europe. You can't get on a bus. And remember, they don't have cars like we do. The unvaccinated are being punished. But if your vaccine is so good, then why are you afraid of the unvaccinated? We should be dropping dead and you should be fine. Why are you so afraid of the unvaccinated if the vaccine is so good and powerful? See, it makes no sense. If you're detached from the world, it makes no sense. But if you're attached to the world, and St. Paul says that those who reject the truth by their attachment to the world, St. Paul guaranteed that God himself would let a great delusion overcome most of the population to punish them for embracing lies, so therefore they get caught in the lie, and only grace can bring them out. So these are just examples of what we're seeing today of how the enemy is working at us not to trust God. Do you trust God? Do you trust God with the level of both these widows? The first with Elijah, and the second, who's even more heroic, because she doesn't have to be told or guided by Elijah. She just goes in there and gives everything she has. Why? Because she absolutely loves God. And she knows the temple needs upkeep because she wants God to be worshipped in the way God should be worshipped, as God himself had set out in the temple sacrifices. Is that your attitude towards God? That you trust him simply because he is God? He hasn't given you some warm fuzzy or some weird kind of secret knowledge? Precisely. You know he's God, and you trust him simply because he is God. To whom shall we go, as Peter said? To Christ. You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Everyone else abandoned Jesus except the apostles. And that's when Judas abandoned our Lord in his heart and began to plan our Lord's betrayal. Those who embrace lies always, always hate the truth. So consider your disposition. And if you are a person who is indeed on the fence on all this, get off the fence. You're either with me or against me, Jesus said. You're either with the world or with Christ. Receive the Blessed Sacrament, if properly disposed, and ask for an increase in faith. Ask for an increase in trust. And then with your will, do it. And then live a life that is worthy of Christ. Live a life that demonstrates a trust in him. Live a life that points to him in everything you say and do and believe. Because only by your actions, who reflect Christ in the world, will you be able to call others out of the darkness of the lies and into the fullness of the light of the truth of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.